Like,
right, if this is 24-hour news, it's just like, all right, who can comment on this? Or what?
So, pull me on. I'll be available 24/7 to the BBC to talk about Bitcoin anytime.
We're back.
Hello.
Where's your gavel?
I haven't got it. I thought about it and then I thought I couldn't be asked going upstairs. So I'm just going to
hit
the table instead.
I think Connor laid the law down with it by his hand.
He did threaten. He sent out quite a threatening message on Friday saying,
where's my gavel?
Where is it?
they use it on Fridays.
I did panic a little bit. But yeah, we got the hand instead, which I think is a bit more threatening.
Than a hammer?
Well,
see how we
a plastic hammer. Okay. Yep, welcome back. Episode 119. Yep, remember to like and subscribe. As usual, please. Bitcoin live price. What is that, 72?
We have dipped a bit.
Oh, we were at 72 about 5 minutes ago, weren't we?
71,666.
What's that GBP?
Evil.
54, nearly 55 maybe.
Go up top, Mikey.
Up top.
Right. Up top. No, no. Change that to GBP.
55. 56. Nice new all-time high we're at currently, so very exciting.
It doesn't feel like other all-time highs.
Doesn't it? Feels very...
Is it less euphoric?
No, it feels like other previous... It feels like what it does when we normally hit the previous all-time high. I think that's why. I think we'll feel like all-time high when we pump and hit something that's more...
What are you taking for this cycle?
100? Well, no, we cannot give it financial advice.
At what point are we supposed to feel euphoric about the price?
I think you will know
when you've been in Bitcoin as long, you never feel euphoric.
I feel like it's not pricing anymore.
No, well, when we hit 1,000 for the first time, it was exciting. When we hit 1,000 for the second time, nobody cared.
Right.
Same with 20,000. Nobody really cared.
Well,
and then it takes that time to come back around.
Remember that time we hit 20,000 and this guy said he'd take us all out to dinner?
Oh, yeah, and he never did.
A specific restaurant that's now closed.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's not closed.
I can't. It's closed.
Yeah, it's closed.
They were putting the plates on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah,
that's really? Closed. Yeah,
I thought I went past that the other day. And it was still open.
So I was desperately trying to book for the guy. I know I promised it, and they've gone. Yeah.
You outlasted. You paying back your bet outlasted the actual restaurant itself.
Yeah, dragging that out.
Yeah, I feel like I win.
But no, I think you'll feel euphoric when you feel it, and I think that'll be.
I don't think you can't have ever felt euphoric in your whole life.
Better numbers to be get more excited about when it comes to Bitcoin. Like, it's not wallet addresses, but it's like more adoption-y numbers, because this is right for me. It's just a number, but I'm not in it for numbers go up. None of us are in it for numbers go up.
No,
although it's the nice backside of it.
Counting point of view.
It makes things.
It's the driving force for the mainstream, for the adoption. So every cycle.
Yeah, it drives adoption.
But I wish we could agree on a number that's actually, you know, like all our business KPIs are much more refined than just this. And this is just, to me, although it's a nice thing to look at, it's the wrong thing to look at. But I don't know what I would be happy about.
That dampener.
Yeah, every time I look at the number, I'm just like, it's not what I'm in Bitcoin for.
Should we go back to dollars more?
Should I go back to the agenda?
I can't.
I can't deal with that. Well, my mates say, like, why are you always quoting dollar? So that's the standard.
Yeah, we do in our industry. Does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we know he's lying.
Right, back to the agenda.
Well, if you had the gavel there, that would be your...
Yeah, we'd be know what you're on.
Right. Bitcoin featured on the BBC News. Hilarious.
can you put
the
change of coffee in the agenda?
Coffee needs to change back.
Physical disgust on your face.
Someone has bought a coin corner and bought the wrong coffee, right? On a Monday morning, that's my first coffee of the day.
Oh.
I'm reliant on that, and it tastes awful.
I've moved to tea
because of that. Anyway, on the agenda.
Do you want that on the agenda?
Coffee mystery. Find out who it was.
The 2010 wallet moved a lot of Bitcoin. I was going to say...
But didn't take you a while. Why was she surprised by the word Bitcoin?
Because I was trying to...
That's the most surprising
word of that whole headline. Right.
No, because I was trying to, in my head, flip it. It says millions here, and I just... Yeah. No, okay. 2010 wallet moving Bitcoin to Coinbase, a lot of it. MicroStrategy announcement. CEO of Binance US calling says it's radioactive to banks. What is
I'll come back to her next point. Okay. Let's carry on.
Headline news. Steve Wozniak nailing the difference between Bitcoin and crypto 2 years ago.
I'm going to tell Adam back why he's wrong.
All right.
Calling Adam out. I'm not really. I love Adam. Well,
and
technically, he's probably going to be. It's a technicality, but we'll go.
Okay.
London Stock Exchange to accept applications for the Bitcoin ETN admission.
Tracking.
Right. You want to start at the top?
Was this on primetime BBC News or when was it? Did anyone know when it aired?
The weekend. I think it was. It only went up on the air. Was it 5 days ago? So it was. Was it Friday when we hit the all time high again? Was it? So it kind of.
Can't remember those numbers to us.
At the weekend, it got pushed out a bit by a few people.
Mm.
But yeah, it was BBC News. Anyone listening here that is not from the UK, BBC News is probably the.
But you think it was on BBC News 24? Not
probably, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Tech News normally wouldn't do headlines like this. Surely.
It would normally say, wouldn't it? If it's like
News 24.
Local.
And it has the different logo.
Okay, so they had a news article on the BBC News. What was your problem with it, Danny?
So this is nearly a 7-minute segment.
Yeah.
You know my problem. You've watched it this morning when I sent it out.
I was thinking the Bob-omb.
It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. It's frustrating that mainstream media is pushing this out, interviewing two different people on this, which we'll come and show in a second, that I'd say no offence to him, but full offence to him. It was terrible. They don't know anything about
it.
Full offence to the BBC.
The BBC, maybe they touched upon one side of an argument.
Because the correspondent in the New York was meant to be a positive spin as to why the price has gone. Mm. And the other dude, which is from London, who's wrote a Bitcoin book or crypto book attacking blockchain and crypto, his was the negative side.
Which I will be buying today.
Which I'm going to, I feel like I need to read it, just see what he's got in it. But
it's always helpful.
His arguments were just embarrassing. Like, it was sweeping statements everywhere. There was no actual information. There was no substance to either of them, even on the positive one. Mm. She didn't actually say anything.
Can you scroll forward to the news the first business correspondent? So they had you don't have
so we'll play the clip of this and people hopefully will be able to hear this and then we'll just have a chat on it.
Mm-hmm. General has been embroiled in controversy over fails trading platforms. Let's bring in Michelle Fleury, who's our North America business correspondent, and who can explain to us what is behind this recent surge in Bitcoin.
Yeah, Michelle. I mean, after 18 months in which we've seen bankruptcies, we've seen court cases that have really led people to actually question the foundations of this whole entire ecosystem, suddenly here we are again talking about Bitcoin tag hitting new record highs. And it's the continuation of a rally that's been sort of building now for a couple of months. I think there's a couple of factors behind it. One is the mainstreaming, if you like, of Bitcoin. You may recall earlier this year, we had regulators here in the United States open investing opportunities attached to cryptocurrencies to more investors. And since then, funds have been pouring into that.
Pause it then. Let me just pause.
Pause it then, Mikey.
We'll pause as well.
Why don't you want to say ETF?
Why
doesn't she want to say that?
She doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
So, but there's a law has changed that's allowed, which is just like, no, yeah. Just approved ETFs. Like,
yeah.
And 9 Bitcoin. You could have even explained it's 9 Bitcoin ETFs, BlackRock's involved, Franklin Templeton. Like, they could have.
Yeah.
Put some substance behind any of it.
I also hate.
She's supposed to be the positive one.
Yeah.
No.
She's not.
I'm not sure she's supposed to be the positive.
She's the business correspondent. That's my.
She's the neutrally one. The facts
behind why the price has gone to where it was is what.
Bear in mind, BBC is supposed to be neutral, right? No, it's not the side of either.
Well, why bring a negative guy on then if it's meant to be neutral?
Spoiler alert.
The argument would be if they brought on some more positive on the afterwards. Was this clipped in such a way where the positive guy?
You should have them both and just have a conversation.
Everything can be a debate. Okay.
Put me on a debate with that guy, just live on BBC.
Well, why didn't contact him?
We are going to push it.
My other problem.
Prime time.
It needs to be on mainstream debate. So it doesn't even have to be a debate. It's just a quick conversation, but you can at least highlight. I'll come to it in a minute and we'll pause it as well and break. And the things he's saying, it's like, I would just want to ask him, can you share with me where you've got that data and that information from, because he's just making stuff up.
It's just not factual.
He's just made up stuff, literally made up stuff, and we've got facts and data to prove wrong.
My problem with her is that she also mentions that the foundations of Bitcoin have been shaken by bankruptcies and fraud. Like that's it's unique to the Bitcoin business.
She keeps calling it crypto as well, though. That was they've saying about the laws have changed things so people can invest in crypto. It's like, no, they can invest in Bitcoin by a Bitcoin ETF.
If they had a banking product on there, would they mention the number of banks that have gone under in the last year? They wouldn't.
No, which is about just starting to again now.
Yeah, so you can see, oh, we've had record-breaking banking liquidations and foreclosures and whatnot. They would never have mentioned it. But she's coming as that's Bitcoin's story. It's their mainstream story, is the fact that it's still FTX.
Yeah, but she's focused on the price and the sentiment from mainstream being shaky foundation, thinking the perception of Bitcoin has shaky foundations because of the price and the collapses. Mm-hmm. It's businesses that collapsed around Bitcoin, not Bitcoin itself. Mm-hmm. The price of Bitcoin went down, but the foundation and fundamentals behind Bitcoin are still just as strong, or if not stronger than ever. So, it's just the lack of understanding. The people they're bringing on as theoretical experts, I know someone was saying this morning, like, are they
but
really
they,
experts?
They haven't called her an expert. She is their business correspondent. But, so they've got someone...
To be a correspondent, you've got to be perceived as sort of expert.
This is 24-hour news. It's just like, all right, who can comment on this?
I'll be available 24-7 to the BBC to talk about Bitcoin anytime. Snip up this clip and send it to them.
Send it for BBC.
I will be available 24-7 any day of the year, available to talk about Bitcoin on the BBC for them, to help give them actual facts and information.
Fine.
Because how have they found nobody in our industry and they've found her?
Because people have to be vetted. That's a very easy
She's a BBC
pick.
Correspondent.
Yeah,
She's
it's a very... Like, I could talk about this in the BBC. I can put my hand up. Right, quick, you're on a 10.
Yeah. I'm putting my hand
Danny
up.
Scott. Might perceive to be crazy.
There's people around the industry that will be available 24/7, but they're putting a BBC correspondent on that has no idea.
I've got Danny Scott. I don't get him on. I never show him up.
But why wouldn't you bring experts from the industry into it? Why wouldn't
they
do that?
They thought they did without all of them.
This is my point.
You've never written a book about Bitcoin.
I don't need to write a book about Bitcoin.
Written a book.
I've run and actually operated in the industry. I've actually walked the walk in the industry for 10 years. This guy just talks basically barely the talk about attacking an industry no expertise.
Do these news outlets ever reach out to you?
They have in the past, yes.
And what have you said to them?
Three documentaries have we done with BBC that never aired.
Yeah,
because
we were
too positive about Bitcoin and they wanted negative and headline stories about bankruptcies and criminals.
Is that why they never aired?
Seriously, yeah. One of them was.
But what about other media outlets other than the BBC? Because you think, actually, as a CEO of a longest running exchange or one of them, I'd expect some people to reach out for you for your opinion.
Yeah. We do from news outlets, like as in online publications, like you're not necessarily mainstream UK, but more like you're independent, and I suppose that is mainstream.
A bit more freedom of speech, though.
But you can't get angry at the BBC for not inviting you on every time.
Oh, no, not invite. I don't care about inviting me on. Invite anyone on, but just anyone in the industry that knows what they're talking about.
By the lack of knowledge.
Hey, good, Brian. Invite Brian on. He'd know more than them, at least. Jesus. I mean, no offense to her as well. It's not her position. It's not her role to an expertise to know that. But don't bring her on to tell the whole UK population about Bitcoin.
Go on to mention the halving.
This bit's just as bad.
A report that as much as sort of, huge figures have been raised. So that has kind of definitely increased things on the demand side. On the supply side, there is this process called the halving. It's part of the Bitcoin protocol that only a certain number of Bitcoin are ever issued. And periodically, once every 4 years, the kind of reward given to Bitcoin miners for the number of Bitcoins mined actually decreases. And there is speculation that the next halving will occur in May 2024, about 4 years to the date of the last one. So that may also have an impact on what investors think the supply will be. And all of this, I think you can sort of safely say, is leading to that sort of craze for laser eyes, which is the meme that cryptocurrency fans use when they're feeling optimistic about Bitcoin.
Yeah, pause it there, Mikey. I mean,
Bitcoin.
Speculation in May, not speculation that's happening.
No, it was speculation, because then she was saying about the, what was the words after that she used? Speculation.
The 4 year cycle, something like that, that it'll happen in May.
Not necessarily that happened in May, that speculation of what the supply will go to. It's easy, it goes in half. Says in the name, it's called the halving.
However,
it's the technical detail
of
it. Like,
the date isn't set in stone, so you can speculate on the date.
It's 40 days away-ish.
We know it's not going to be in May, though.
It's not going to be in May, for one.
Yeah, well, she Googled that.
And you could have just Googled it. But also, and you could say it's in 40 days, it's going to halve. It means 6.25 Bitcoins is going to become... What are we at the minute?
No, 6.25.
6.25. No, we're not. We're at 6. I've lost track of now what we're at.
Oh, my God. How can the BBC get this guy on?
3.125.
He doesn't even
know. I was trying to think what it was going down to. It's 3.125. 6.25. So we're going to 3.125.
Mm-hmm.
So even just saying that and explaining like the basics of the numbers helps people understand what you're talking about. You're just saying halving. What does that even mean to anyone?
No, she did. She explained this. Basically, the supply and demand play was highlighted by her.
But it was still just up in the air, like generic. She didn't really, you know, give numbers, give facts, give actual information.
It was said with a bit of a smirk that it's all...
Oh, it's speculative. Yeah, it might not happen. And they're speculating on what the reward's going to come down to. It's like, no, it's not speculation on that. It's going to halve. Yeah. It's like, it's factual. It's built in code.
Mm.
And again, I'm ranting at her because I'm also... building myself up for the next guy.
Yeah,
because the whole
stuff. I think she was pretty fair, really. I think I'm not disgusted by what she said in terms of only bit was dragging in bankruptcies and.
I suppose you just hope when Bitcoin gets talked about on mainstream news that the person talking about it has a decent level of knowledge.
Yeah,
maybe our expectations are higher than what reality is.
There's probably better people to do it than her, but
and there was no facts of anything. There was no like. You know, give us something. Okay, it's going from 6.25 to 3.125. The Bitcoin ETFs, and there's 9 ETFs now that you can buy via BlackRock. There was
you can fit all that in the same time frame.
It was like she just.
But you've got to think of that.
Worded everything.
Like if you're interested in the numbers, you're not watching BBC News.
No, I'm not saying 24. You are. No, but the numbers help explain to people what that actually means. And saying about BlackRock and Franklin Templeton associating Bitcoin then necessarily with. Them institutions that people understand what that means.
It's not CNBC, it's not Bloomberg, it's BBC
News. It doesn't matter, explain it correctly.
It's just high level.
It makes me feel like, I mean, Zach was talking about this morning, it makes me feel like anything I watch in the news these days, I just don't believe a word anyone says. Even experts coming onto these, because that's what, there are experts in our industry, apparently are them two on here now. It's just so bad. I just can't believe anything the media puts out with it. It's frustrating.
Right.
And if they don't have the experts to talk about it, why talk about it at all? Just don't.
Martin Lewis. I'm not an expert in this, but...
here's a 7-minute...
Sorry. I'm picking on Martin Lewis here. I don't mean to be...
like go on.
But there's also a different level of expertise.
I'm trying to move it on without McGavel.
Well, so you can't just talk about it until you hit a level of expertise.
You couldn't talk about these two in any form of expert in our industry.
No.
At all.
No.
Like, bring on the next guy. It'll be, it's about, fast forward it a minute.
Science.
There we go. David Gerrard, author of the book, Attack of the 50-Foot Blockchain, Scams, Drugs, Crooks, and Cryptography. Based on that title, David.
Here we go, balanced argument coming up.
You're not a fan of Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies.
BBC just shilling his book.
What do you make of today's developments?
So it's been really interesting. There's a real lack of retail dollars coming in.
Suppose it.
Mum and dad dollars.
How does he know that? How does he know that? Like, we would know that. He does not know that.
And also disagree with him.
I disagree with him as well, because what we've seen so far, it's now starting to come in. Heavily from current customer base, maybe not necessarily new customers, but it's new fiat money coming
in. But proportion, maybe he's talking proportionately. Most of the new inflow volume-wise has been via the ETS, which would be...
I agree with.
Yeah.
It has proportionally, but there's still new money coming in from retail.
Yeah. Well, let's see if he goes on
we
to
know that.
This.
No, that's,
he
does make sense.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Spoiler.
Okay.
Cool. Mum and dad dollars. They're the engine of any economic bubble. Naive investors. What we've seen is... a lot of odd stuff happening in the Bitcoin market, because this is a completely unregulated market, by the way.
Pause. Lies again. Completely unregulated market. We're squeezed so heavily.
But also, when he wrote his book, his book's a few years old.
What's this book got to do with it? We're on live telly from last Friday talking about Bitcoin.
Maybe you need someone that's, you know, got a book out. He's done his research for a book, and his book might just be quite a few years old.
What's that got to do with him being on air saying what he's saying? Argument is this. You cannot defend this guy. I know you're trying to come at an argument with me here.
No. Hey, no way.
You're on my side here. You know you are.
Well, that last sentence was ridiculous.
Every single sentence of his is ridiculous.
Okay.
Those headphones are ridiculous as well.
The price discovery doesn't happen in the US. It happens in offshore casinos, Pause. Such as Binance.
Price discovery doesn't happen where?
In the US, it happens on offshore casinos, such as Binance. But actually, the price discovery right now is Coinbase because of the ETFs. Mm. So that is purely, and that is fairly factual because we can see that every single day in the volume charts at Coinbase, as the ETFs open and ETFs close, you can see that volume of the debt's changing.
Again, there will be some price discovery.
There is outside of hours.
Yeah, because it's a big exchange.
Outside of hours, we've been fairly stable. Mm. Usually 2 a.m., which is you've highlighted recently, actually, is China, Asian markets opening. Yeah. You see movement. And then usually 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. UK time, we see some sort of movement, which we did this morning again.
Mm.
And you see it in certain places. But again, it's...
But you do see an awful lot of movement when the American market opens as well.
You do.
And he specifically said you do.
He's saying that US is not the price discovery, which right now, that is the core price discovery. It's coming from the ETFs on Coinbase because they're purchasing through there.
I might want to see his data on that, though.
He doesn't have... This is the point. He comes with...
Well, he must have some data. This guy's got data.
He's going to bring the data out in a minute.
You don't write a book.
Do you reckon this guy can spot
the 50-foot blockchain without having the data?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That's good point. Let's see this data. Go on, Mikey.
Such as Binance, which is literally a criminally convicted conspiracy. They're currently under a $4 billion fine and severe restrictions.
Probably the only thing I agree with in some respect, although the way he worded it is extreme, but that's Binance.
The Binance hate.
And Binance being under investigation, etc. Which we can't argue with that. That one is happening.
That's Binance, though. That's Binance.
Nothing to do with Bitcoin.
Here he's bringing it round.
So if you have a feeling the crypto industry is a bit of a dodgy gamble, that would be a correct feeling because... It really is a very minor thing in terms of economics. There's a lot of odd things happening with the price. When you see the price jump $3,000 in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. New York time, that won't be ETFs, which trade during stock market hours. There's a lot of questionable...
What's 2 a.m. New York time? What time is that in Asia? When other markets are opening, that's the thing that they still don't seem to get. That Bitcoin trade is 24/7, 365. Mm. Mm. So, and markets are constantly opening and shutting throughout every day. So,
I wonder if this guy understands time zones.
Clearly doesn't. Oh, he's talking about New York, you know.
That's 3 o'clock. Well, it's 3 o'clock in South Korea.
PM.
Yeah.
Some markets in Asia will be shutting and opening depending on where you are. There.
Yeah, but I think he's basing. He's like. There's an old Jordan Peterson does it, or it might even be Ben Shapiro. They're like, if you fundamentally get a non-truth in there and argue a non-truth, so that fundamentally the market is made as huge movements when the American market opens. Mm-hmm. Like this 2 a.m. is almost like a non-truth. I don't believe that it's moving as much in that time.
I'd like to actually look at that.
So you'd have to look at his data. So if you
but instead of popping up these. Nice videos, you'd think they'd pop up the data on the right there as he's talking about it.
Yeah, because they don't have any data to pop up.
Mm.
Just put generic pictures.
I mean, at one point they're showing ETH futures with trading.
Bitcoin ETMs here as well. Yeah. It's like, what?
That's the event to anything he's talking about.
The post box next to it. Like, what?
It is very difficult when people don't show the data to justify, but
he has nothing to justify as well. At the 2 a.m., because the 5 hours ahead of us are the New York.
Yeah, but
so it'd be 7 a.m. our time.
Necessarily happening,
what
is it?
No, it doesn't.
That's why it's just...
8 a.m., 9, we're seeing it UK time as UK markets open. We do see even sometimes. So maybe that also correlates in some way.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's justifying an argument with a falsehood, really, which always annoys me, especially if you don't show your data.
Go on, Mikey, sorry.
Questionable stable coins, which may or may not be fully backed, being issued and pumped into the markets. Okay. So all the exchanges last week shut down withdrawals simultaneously.
This is the best. This is my favorite.
Gentlemen, we shut down our withdrawals last week.
Simultaneously.
Sugar.
Simultaneously.
All of them. Wow.
All of the major exchanges.
simultaneously.
Shut down withdrawals. Not a single one shut down withdrawals, as far as I'm aware. Mm. Not a single
one.
It's
going to be very hard to defend the guy on that one. Didn't happen.
Coinbase went down for trading purposes, and their system had problems. I still don't think they shut down withdrawals, as well. As far as I'm aware.
It was just bars, yeah.
It was just the issue of the platform buying and selling. And no other exchange went down and had issues.
No.
So, that's outrageous, isn't it?
I'd, Any comments?
Well, as an exchange who were open, you know, all this time period and didn't shut down any withdrawals, we can categorically say that that's a lie.
As probably one of the biggest, longest running in Great Britain, well, Europe.
Danny, did we shut down withdrawals?
No.
The guy's lying.
What's this guy's name? David, somewhere.
No. He's not a David. He's a Daniel.
No, it's going to be a David.
He's a Darren.
I feel like
it's not in the description.
I looked at his book.
We'll have to find him on
I'm going to still buy his book.
We can come back to that again.
I bet his book sales go through the roof. Why are BBC shilling a book?
Yeah, that was odd as well.
Oh, he's a David.
He's a David.
David Gerrard.
Typical David.
Absolutely legs the guy.
Go on then, let's watch the rest of it and then you've got a lot of other agenda points to get through.
This is good.
I'm enjoying this. We should do this. This should be
it's like a reaction.
Just watch along. Like, we have to do a lot of this.
There you go. There's a green.
I missed a thumbnail at the moment.
Because you do the best faces, Dave.
Guys, pull some faces.
It's
fair to say, David, you smell a rat and you're suspicious. But you talk about investors being...
Crypto is a quilted of red flags.
Fair enough. You talk about investors being naive. I'm sure there's a lot of investors out there feel pretty clever at the gains that they've made. Money is pouring into these ETFs at a rate of around $2 billion a week. And it does stand to reason that the opening up this new manner of trading, these exchange-traded funds, will trigger a surge in prices, because you just open yourself up to a whole new swathe of investors who now see it as a safer investment, even notwithstanding what others say about Bitcoin, about that has no intrinsic value. But opening it up to exchange-traded funds does kind of give it a badge of respectability.
It does, but it's not clear that fresh dollars are actually coming in. It seems to be dollars moving from other parts of the ecosystem. For example, sell-offs of the Bitcoin miners or other companies that are tangential to Bitcoin, moving that money into ETFs.
Pause us. What the fuck do you mean? We're in an ecosystem right now, not an ecosystem.
I get him.
And when he's talking about moving money, there's one option of, they've come out of grayscale and gone into like the BlackRock ETF, something in that can, but that also has like a 30-day cool down or something. So there's cool down periods to prevent people going in and out of ETFs. However,
Bitcoin miners.
Bitcoin miners, where's that come from?
Because he's talking about like industries running side by side. So if you see an ETF pump in price, you would also see the cost of spades going up if you're mining.
But he's saying money's coming from there.
The miners would also get money.
No, but he's saying money's coming from the miners into the ETFs. How does that make any sense then? That just doesn't make any sense.
He said there's no fresh dollars coming into the ETFs.
I thought he was talking about side-by-side industries aren't seeing the same pump.
So what he'd be saying is people are selling the shares in the mining companies and putting that into the ETFs, but the mining companies are going up in value. So nobody's selling the shares in them because the price is pumping. So the whole logic to that is...
There's also no facts. Just back it up.
Yeah. Go look at the mining again.
That fundamentally might be the issue.
Now, this guy has no clue and has no facts.
But that's what he's referencing, I think, is the fact that if you said to them the share prices in miners or the value of miners are going up, that's what he's missing, because he's saying it isn't.
He's saying that money's coming out of there and going into the ETFs. Where's that ever come from? No, it's coming from pension funds and things like that where... piling it in.
I mean, his opening statement there was there's no fresh dollars coming in, but BlackRock have literally announced, we can now invest this fund into this ETF.
It's all fresh dollars. It's pretty much all fresh dollars. The ones that are not is coming out of grayscale, but they're actually exiting their positions for different reasons. Was it one of the Bitwise put out a tweet actually saying about they've literally the opposite of this? So they've tweeted that saying from their fund and all the different categories of people that are coming into the Bitwise ETF, and they are basically saying it's like all fresh stuff, it's all new stuff.
Yeah,
they've broken the categories down for people.
So. Yeah, I don't really understand the argument actually that it's not fresh dollars. I get it on the grayscale the bit where people the outflow and then running back into BlackRock.
But we still have no evidence
of that.
But if that was the perfect net and there was no fresh dollars, the price wouldn't be moving. Yeah, there's no other market dynamic on it.
We started off at what, 30 billion? Was it ish? I know inflows are about 15 billion now total since it launched. And that's new fresh dollars coming in.
Yeah.
That's even with grayscale out, netting it off.
So yeah, if there's no fresh dollars, the price wouldn't be running as high as it is.
No.
Yeah. So He's got a few points that he's wrong on. Fundamentally,
there's been one that's right on, which was Binance.
Yeah,
being done by the SEC.
Back on, we've got a minute left of this video.
We're absolutely not seeing fresh dollars coming in.
Yes,
this is absolutely not seeing happen at all. The retail trade in Bitcoin is surprisingly dead for such large
How does he know that? Has he got some information from inside exchanges?
Is he running an exchange?
I don't think that is. This is ridiculous. There's 100% our sign-ups have increased.
I'm going to stop emailing him our data.
He's not listening.
He's not reading the data. Our sign-ups have increased, 75% the other week, 100% the week after. So we are seeing an increase now in sign-ups, which is usually at the beginning of a cycle. And volumes have been massive, to be honest, this year in comparison to, this is what we expect at the beginning of a new cycle. And it might not necessarily as well, some of it might not be. There is new customers coming in, but not at peak bull numbers, should we say. But there are a lot of old customers piling in with more cash, I think, at the minute is the best way to describe that.
We looked at the Google trends last week in terms of new guys. It's not as
50%.
So kind of, he's got a bit of a point.
I mean, he said retail is dead.
He did.
It's not dead.
But that was what he said.
Yeah, but he's trying to pump up the new
jazzing.
But we had to get on more gigs.
Our all-time highest month in December in volume. Our customer base is heavily retail, a lot of B2B as well. But it's still B2B retail in
the sense. A bit strong.
Not institutional. January, February, and March so far have all been incredibly big months in terms of volume and trading.
Are you going to email the guy?
I'm just put it out on Twitter and we'll tag him and see if he reacts.
Right.
I can email, I don't know his email address, but if anyone knows it, I don't care about him. I want to just, it's the BBC more I'm bothered about.
I hope he does a reaction video to this video.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. That would be good.
That would be amazing.
We'll do
back
another
and forth
one to his
reaction videos.
I like that.
But it's the BBC that I feel like needs to be communicated with, not this guy. Yeah, this guy's just.
Yeah, that's supposed to be like one of the gold standards of like journalism and unbiased kind of reporting.
Okay. They've just gone heavy negative from a guy that just doesn't like the industry for whatever reason.
Are we 100% sure that there wasn't another guy they got on after this, and the people on Twitter are just clipping up the bad stuff?
No, this is YouTube.
BBC News.
Straight from their channel.
I watched the full thing at the weekend of this, and it was like,
They're 15.7 million subscribers.
It's like a parody.
No, it's a BBC.
Only the BBC put this out.
Yeah.
With their 15.7 million subscribers.
Oh, my God. That's even worse. You only try to defend this because you love the BBC.
I thought this was like a Bitcoin Twitter bashing the BBC. But they put this out as of that whole video.
Yeah. I didn't. I saw this on somebody's Twitter account, but I'd already seen.
Yeah, you can't argue. You really can't.
Go on, Mikey.
Come on.
Grabbing numbers.
Try and get through to the end, Danny.
David, who share your views about Bitcoin. I mean, the US regulators, the SEC, had to be dragged kicking and screaming into actually approving these ETFs. Legal action forced that move. Do you think regulators, central banks, should be shouting even louder about the risks they see with crypto in general?
Ultimately, if you're selling people you can get rich for free, that's a very attractive product, whether it's got anything to it or not. So at a certain point, all the regulators can do is say, look, this is trash, take care.
Okay.
They can stop promoters, because you can stop people from promoting things that are a missold investment. But ultimately, if I want to set my money on fire, I can probably do so.
We can all do that. David Gerrard, author, critic of crypto. Thank you very much for that.
Man, I enjoyed that.
Anything else, though?
No,
bad isn't.
We're all just setting our money on fire.
That was a good sign off from him, to be fair.
Yeah.
Very well,
he's going to get the call back.
He's
burning fear, isn't he? So he's maybe he's a bit.
Craig clickbait. We've clicked it, we've watched it, we've clicked it up, and we're
well done
talking about it on a podcast.
Yeah.
But it's not accurate.
I bet he increases book sales from it.
It probably will.
Probably.
BBC have shielded him.
Well played them.
I think buying his book is also like burning money.
Basically, saying. David Gerrard, or whatever he's called, has out PR'd you.
He has, yeah.
Mm. Correct.
Yeah, we've got all
that
game.
Guy.
That
guy is beating you.
Oh, no.
That guy.
Me. I'm sorry.
That guy.
Well, isn't he?
Right. Anything else to add to that? Hopefully not, because we've talked.
Don't buy his book.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, or buy it and set fire to it.
I tell you what, I might buy it and set fire. We'll do a video back.
That's literally what I said.
No, that just looks... That looks
did you hear that's what I said? Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to buy it and read it.
I'm going to buy it and set fire to it.
Right.
Let's not get into set fire. Set fire to book shit.
Oh, no, burn the building.
Very bad, very, very bad message.
Fire Marshal Dave has issue with
it. Yeah. Right, okay, we ready for the next point? Yeah. It's going to be a bit
You've already slammed your hand.
I know.
I'm worried about you breaking this bloody desk.
No, with these
guys. I'm all done now.
Right. I'm going to say the rest of the podcast is going to be very low energy compared to that. Mm-hmm. Right. 2010 wallet just moved 67 million Bitcoin to Coinbase. The owner hodled from 30 cents to $65,000.
Class.
Impressive.
Mm. But why? Why is he moving it now?
I don't know. Should we ask him?
Yeah, I mean...
Does anyone?
Yeah, but think if you've hodled this long, like, why not hodl a little bit more?
We don't know that he's necessarily selling it or doing anything with it.
How much is the fee, did he say?
Well, he's lost. I assume he sent 1,000 Bitcoin, and then that's what he received.
Yeah, you can't see the fee on that, then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he is selling some of it, and maybe that's like some OTC desk style pulling in some people that don't.
Legend.
I prefer to see the fees on that because it's just Bitcoin
put fees under it.
Losing value.
Okay,
Let's move on.
Right. MicroStrategy, just before this podcast, announced that they had bought the 12,000 Bitcoins, $800 million worth. This is from their raise, wasn't it, towards the end of last week?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. They started off at $600 million, then went $700 million, then they actually, by the end of it, bought $821 million worth.
I mean...
0.625% interest rate.
Won't be good for his average.
He did say somewhere his average.
His average
on his announcement tweet, Mikey.
The other one. That one.
An average of...
Yes, 33,706.
Yeah.
That's his current average, right?
Yeah.
But the average purchase that was 68.
He'll be dragging that up.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, mm-hmm. At the same time, it's already $17,000.
I know, but part of me would be like, if I was doing it, I'd be like, oh,
don't want to drag the average up.
Yeah.
So you're trying to... Well, you are doing it in your own hole.
No, I am. But I suppose
you're saying you're not buying it at the moment.
No, I do buy every month.
I did sell, didn't you?
You have to sell. But just part of me would be like, my average is going to go up.
But you've just...
You can't get around it.
Bought $800 million worth of Bitcoin, so I'm not sure you're going to be too bothered.
No, true. And his average does look quite good now compared to the actual price.
It's over double.
So is this what you think is correlated to the price increase over the last couple of days to hit the new all-time high?
I assume yesterday. And yeah, he must have been buying yesterday and then this morning, was it? And it's slowly...
Yeah,
he always announces after, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Are they still doing it through Coinbase, doing that?
Oh, no.
They don't really talk about it anymore.
No. It was $1,000 a second, was it, that they were buying through Coinbase, doing it via API.
Mad.
But I'm not sure. I've not seen an update to that, to be honest.
Mm.
Right.
Pretty sure. If they were a UK company, we could have had a bit of that action.
Yes.
It's annoying.
Could. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we probably could have as well, unfortunately.
You guys you don't listen to the hand, do you?
I heard it.
Only the
cable. Heard it. Again, it's easily ignored.
Next.
Right, next. CEO of Binance US says it's radioactive to banks. The SEC dealt a near-mortal blow, effectively choking the business.
What?
Near-mortal blow?
I thought that who's this?
Who's radioactive?
COO, Chief Operating Officer.
Oh, because I thought they brought in that regulator CEO guy. I thought it's just been very strong language, isn't it?
They did. I think the point is, this was like what we already spoke about when Binance were going through the SEC court case stuff, and we were saying that they're going to get choked and squeezed basically out. And I think I put a thing on saying in one of the pods saying about maybe 5 years, I think Binance will be gone and they'll slowly die out.
I don't remember you saying that.
I think you did. I did on one of those things. And this is like step one in theory. The US, Binance US is pretty much going to be the first one, I imagine, to be squeezed. They'll probably try and sell off everything.
It's a bit of a lash out, isn't it? If you were in better relations, you wouldn't be lashing out like that. That does them no favours.
Some harsh words then.
But if the SEC are going to basically squeeze them so no bank will touch them in the US, then they can't operate anyway. So they're either going to have to push back and lash out, or they're just going to have to sell the assets of what they've got there.
Yeah, they said they after the SEC actions go up, Mikey, sorry.
But there's worse than
a billion of assets fled the platform. They had to fire 200 people.
Yeah.
Where's the benefit?
Revenue imploded.
Where's the benefit to Binance for saying that, though?
well, they're going to be hoping to push back on the SEC and then see it's unfair. What the SEC are doing to them right now is mean 200 jobs have just been lost in the US. All that money's disappearing to offshore.
But who are they appealing to by saying such strong rhetoric? Like, what's their end game on that?
It's pushing back on regulators.
By saying...
It's in the deposition, but I don't know what for.
Oh, it's in the deposition.
Oh, it's in the deposition.
Mm, okay.
Oh.
So they just see one of you kind of language. Yeah.
Ah. But it will be being... They're going to... have to do something on it. I do think it will be a case of that goes pop or they shut it down, sell the assets. They're gonna have to do something. They're not gonna get like approval in any respect, I don't think, going forwards to continue that.
This is just Binance US, right? Binance, whatever, just regular Binance is.
Yeah, but not open to US customers.
Right. But do you think this will have a... When you say they won't be here in 5 years, you're talking about Binance US or Binance in general?
I'm talking about Binance in general, I think. Wow. I think they're going to be, if they're here, they're just going to be insignificant in the industry because they're just going to get squeezed so heavily. So like the US at the minute is squeezing, and we know the US has a reach around the world. If Binance are trying to get banking in different countries around the world, the US have correspondent banks with a lot of that.
Yeah. You not think they'll just change their...
We know they're already squeezed.
Rebrand.
We already know.
Yeah, just change their rhetoric. Become...
Which is what they've been doing.
More regulatory savvy. Yeah, but that'll save them from your 5-year doom and gloom prediction.
That's whether they play that out correctly. So they sold the one arm off to Russia company, the Russian exchange. Binance US, I think they've obviously been looking to sell, and I think they'll get rid of that. The other ones around the world in the different jurisdictions, they'll probably look to just release as time goes
by. So they might still exist, but in a lot smaller kind of scale.
They'll be insignificant is what I'm saying there, in the ecosystem, in the ecosystem.
Right. Okay. It's going to set Danny off again. Steve Watts in the act, nailing the difference between Bitcoin and crypto 2 years ago.
I watched this video and I didn't see anything about... He might have said Bitcoin is different right at the end or something.
Oh, this is a two-year-old video.
Yeah. I was like, why is this a thing?
So, well, annoyingly, like, a few people have tweeted...
Oh, Rizzo's doing his historic thing.
Adam Back had responded to it saying Woz gets it and stuff like that. So I just wanted to... This is my sweeping.
Well, I'll sweep this, Scott.
Are you saying Woz doesn't get it?
Woz doesn't.
We know Woz doesn't get it.
Jesus, we know.
I know what that means.
We know 100% Woz does not get it.
Don't come in here and bash Woz.
I will. All credit to him for doing what he did with Apple.
Thank you. That's all I want.
Of course. Yes.
Next. Sorry, don't see Steve. Bang your hand. It's on Steve's podcast.
I used to like the guy. However, he's no expert in cryptography and cryptocurrency.
He's one of those guys who's like a universal expert because of what he did for Apple.
People perceive him as that. That's the problem, the perception.
No,
so what would say about
not a perception. He's a universal expert in all things computer.
No, he's not. There's no such thing as that.
Yeah. So because of what he's done for Apple. Yeah.
No.
You know it.
Well, no.
You've got to surely put him on some sort of pedestal to say this guy's worth listening to.
Have you read like Steve Jobs' book on Apple? He actually did. He didn't do a lot, and he cashed out all his Apple shares about 4 years in, was it, or something, for 7 years.
There's no Apple. There's no Apple without Woz.
I agree.
So then he did enough.
But he did enough to get it off the ground back in the 70s, was it?
Right, like, so 70s, early 80s. He was the founder of home computing.
Wouldn't
en masse.
I don't know. We can agree
on that.
I don't know. Anyway, we're going off on a tangent here.
That's a window.
Woz on Bitcoin. And maybe he gets it now. I don't know. Don't know how up to date he is with everything.
Have you reached out to him? Have you given
maybe
some advice?
He understands. No, I
have. See Woz.
I can if you would like me to.
Look at the PR here. It's just
I don't think we'll get much of a useful response from him. I know from a number of years ago. I was thinking I've got videos of him not having a clue, basically.
It sounds creepy, doesn't it?
I know, it does sound a bit like that. You put it like that.
Everyone else got these videos.
I can share the videos privately. I'm not going to put them publicly. but yeah, he clearly doesn't, and he's tried in the... I mean, he's done about three of them now, I think, hasn't he, of ICO crypto projects he did. And I was nearly dragged into one of them.
Right.
And that was why I'm cleaning this up.
No doubt they're all quite successful now, are they?
No. Oh, they're all dead. There's no such thing as them. They're all dead. When I say I nearly got dragged into one, I got asked to join. I didn't get dragged into it. I was never going to do anything like that. But you can see his comments around it and what he was doing It was just, he had no clue. It was like he was in it for the money at that point. And personally, I would say he was in it for the money. Now, he has an incredibly good reputation, and I think he's spoiling his reputation in some ways along the way. Bitcoin Twitter, 4 years ago, was that now? Were absolutely abusing him. And I think people have forgotten about that already now. Mm. They're absolutely abusing him because he was doing all these ICOs and he had no clue about what he was talking about.
Right.
And he was all over the place. And then obviously years have passed and people forget.
No, time is the biggest healer, isn't it?
Yeah. So now I'm just kind of, this is a sweet.
You're bringing it back up, so people saying, remember.
I'm not saying he doesn't now.
Like, when do you forgive him then?
But let's not pretend.
He doesn't forgive.
This is more about you.
My main point on this is let's not put people on a pedestal.
Yeah, yeah.
We're pointing him on, you're pointing him on there.
He's because climbed up the bloody pedestal. Because he deserves to be on
Because he founded Apple. But that was 45 years ago, whatever that was now. Mm-hmm. It's a long time ago. And times have changed, technology's changed, and he's always going to be like credible from that perspective in some respect.
Mm-hmm.
However, now in an industry that he knows nothing about, don't put him on a pedestal and think he's going to know what he's talking about. Like, you should not put people on pedestals, especially in this industry.
But if Adam Back is also saying, what did Adam Back say?
That's why I'm saying
he gets it.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying he's.
Is that not enough for you?
No,
Walls gets it.
I love
Bitcoin.
Isn't this what people have done with Saylor though? I know Saylor does get it, but
no, I agree.
Put
him on a pedestal.
Yeah,
shouldn't put anyone on it. Like, I mean, Adam Back's one of the first people to say that as well, and he will say like you shouldn't. Slay heroes or whatever he says.
Yeah. So he's from his pedestal.
Just the learning cycle that has gone through then. So he's there now, is he? Is he Bitcoin only?
Still don't think he's there now. That was 2 years ago on that, and he would finally, because I think that after he'd been burnt on them ICOs. Mm. So some say maybe he's getting there, but I'm also very conscious that he is like a, I guess, media train now as well in some respect, but he's saying these things just to get the good association and the good.
Yeah, to be fair, I watched that clip and it wasn't like, it was more like calling out ICOs and founders again,
which is outrageous. If he's doing that
2 years before that,
he said he did it.
Yeah. That all failed, so he moved on.
But then he's learned. But he wasn't really banging the Bitcoin drum in that clip.
No,
yeah, he didn't really explain why Bitcoin was better than others. He said it was the biggest one, so it's safer.
Bitcoin's the biggest one. So he's kind of still.
He doesn't get it. Maybe he does now, and that's, we'd need some updated sort of conversation with him from somewhere, but I don't think he's said anything on it recent times. But yeah, and also just for someone now, you know, turning around like that and just saying, oh yeah, Bitcoin's way better, it's the best crypto, or whatever wording they use, still doesn't mean they get it. They could just be echoing what they've heard elsewhere and putting that back out again, repeating that because they know it's the popular thing to say. It's like the cycles we've been through where you had all the bankers saying, oh, blockchain's the future and stuff, because they didn't understand anything to do with blockchain, how that worked. They were just echoing what they've heard from somebody else, because they need to look like they're the experts in the room. And
also, Bitcoin is buzzwords different to different people, isn't it?
It is.
So, like, we can't really say who gets it and who doesn't if they get it in their own way. They just don't get it in the same way you get it.
That was very philosophical. Wow. But I completely disagree with that still, because they don't get it.
We all know it takes, to actually get it, it takes
years
research, your own research, and kind of, you can't just get it.
Shut up.
Right, okay.
I agree.
I get it. That hang should have been banged ages ago.
Sorry. I was just letting that play out. Right, last one. And then we've got Dear Dave, I think. London Stock Exchange to accept applications for Bitcoin ETN admission.
I think I missed this.
11th, which is today.
They are. I've missed this.
What's the difference between ETF and ETN?
Exchange traded note is an ETN. I don't know what it is.
Very similar. The fund can. The note has a limit, I think, is it? So the note will have, like, you tie in X amount and then it's buying and selling that. The fund
if you look at that,
for increase.
First paragraph, top line, Mikey, that gives you some. Second paragraph, exchange traded note. That pretty much summarizes.
Sorry, is this Bitcoin or ETH? It says the proposed crypto ETH.
It's both.
They're doing it for both.
This one's ETH then.
What does it say that? I can't even see that.
The proposed crypto ETH, and it just talks about ETH.
Which paragraph?
I cannot see that.
Left column, number one.
Oh, down, 1A, 1B, 1C.
Proposed crypto.
Down.
Oh, there
it is. No, proposed crypto ETN.
My eyes are terrible.
But it does say in number C, it has Bitcoin or Ethereum underlying. Okay, so it's for both. It is still for both.
Yeah.
All right. So it's very similar to an ETF on the London Stock Exchange for Bitcoin or Ethereum.
Who's put this for? Sorry, what is this? I'm so confused still.
I think it was a
Just Google it. Get a, oh,
it's the London Stock Exchange. Yeah, just put this out and say, please, someone come and do this.
Admission fact sheet.
Right.
So yeah, that's it's literally coming from them saying, please, someone come and do it, isn't it? They want some of the ETF pie.
Sure.
Actually,
start accepting admissions, yeah.
Mm. So just saying they're open for business, essentially.
So we were actually looking at doing this.
No, why don't we apply?
We were looking to do this like 4 years ago, though. So revisiting now would be interesting.
Let's revisit.
How does this work with the UK's stance on Bitcoin and crypto? It's very anti, isn't it?
It's kind of muddly, isn't
yeah.
it? It's not consistent because this is a separate organization completely, isn't it?
They still wouldn't let retail buy that in theory, but institutions could obviously then buy that, which is what a lot of the ETFs are.
Mike, you go back to that other tab with the news article. It was talking about custody. Should just see what it said. Custody of the online crypto for ETNs must primarily be in cold storage. Well, they do not elaborate.
Don't have to say.
Enough said, isn't it?
Yeah, enough said, to be fair, yeah. Enough said.
Okay.
Cool.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
We'll have to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes, breaking news today.
Mm. Cool.
Okay. We got a Dear Dave after our...
Roll the theme tune. Cheers, Mikey.
God, what a tune. What's that?
No. If you're going to mix up for that. What's Pete Skins going to actually lay down to that fat, fast drum beat? He's laughing because I've just...
You just had 2 hours worth of work to his work.
It could be a Zimmerman tune.
Could be a Zimmerman tune.
Yeah, but you'll be disappointed with that. I know you're a perfectionist.
I'm a Giacchino man.
Right, what's the question?
Okay, it says, for the Dear Dave slot on Bitcoin, is any new developments or features for users, option to pull funds from the user's fiat balance when sending Bitcoin on-chain or Lightning Network were mentioned a while back?
Like it.
I'm going to let Dave answer.
Yeah, I know, you see it.
Yeah, I know that's not on an immediate list of things we've got to do, but it could be. I don't want to give away too much on because it could pull into something other that we are releasing. So, do you want me to give you a clue under the desk?
Under the desk.
Excuse me. You guys mean under the desk?
Yeah.
Molly will carry on. Go on.
And then, yeah. Well, I don't want to say too much.
It's a barrier. You can't actually.
Why don't I just write it on the notebook?
Yeah. And pass it.
So I actually mentioned this at the week because this was probably the last bit of code I wrote. Was it?
This was. Yeah.
It was the last bit of code I wrote. Yeah.
Yeah.
I stopped coding. So we actually did this. We have actually got that functionality in. So when you do a Bitcoin withdrawal or a Lightning transaction or something like that. No, that doesn't link to that. Well, no,
okay.
Not really, no. So when you do a Lightning transaction or a Bitcoin transaction, then it will pull, if you haven't got Bitcoin, or you can actually set it so it pulls from your fiat balance instead of your Bitcoin balance, so you're not spending Bitcoin. We have that built already.
Mm-hmm. I've had that for ages.
We have,
by the way.
Staff
have. Is this one of those things that a few staff have that no one...
Possibly.
Yeah, probably about a year ago.
I think we've even talked about it on here.
We have talked about it on here.
So the problem with that was just the regulatory side of how it sits for UK customers, and as we're moving UK customers into new entities, there's a bit of a mess around. So we've ended up having to pause actually releasing that to people. So technically, it's there in the background. We just can't release it for regulatory issues that were just working through. Yeah,
yeah.
So once we can do that again, we'll just release it to the public. Unfortunately, it's not because it's not one of them. Like a really high demanded feature, should we say, it ends up falling down the list, and especially when it's a regulatory potential issue, we have to just kind of kick it down.
I always really like it when people come to us with the featurey bits because it does get us thinking, doesn't it? So
thank you, Jim,
for more the merrier for the Dear Dave section.
Yeah,
and they'll be answered thoroughly by Dave once again.
And expanded on by Danny.
But we apologize.
Sure, I need him for some bits.
Yeah. We apologize for not being able to release that, obviously. But,
we do have a couple of other features in the pipeline that we can't talk about yet, but hopefully soon.
Those are the things we were supposed to be announcing this week.
One of them was,
but we've put off to next week.
But we have got a big announcement for next week.
We've got three announcements.
We said this the last week, I think.
I know, right. Paul, like, sorry about not announcing something this week, but then next week we've got a big one.
Three announcements.
Yeah, looks, hey.
One each week for the following 3 weeks.
No, and see, that's overcommitted. Just go, right, we've got an announcement next
week. Committed. Technically, all of them are already live.
Announcement
we
two?
Just haven't officially got in place.
But watch this space.
Yeah.
Big announcement.
But we have
coming.
A poor substitute.
A mini announcement just to apologise.
What now?
No, an apology announcement.
Yeah. What a cheap announcement.
Well, we haven't actually announced them, so we thought we may as well.
We got version 2 of Mount Sox. So we got new rocket ones.
What are these called?
What is the Bitcoin Island collection?
The Bitcoin Island collection. So they're all island themed. We've got new roller coasters.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you not even know that?
Sit socks, mate. I can't get excited about it.
Although, to be fair, the roller coaster, they look pretty cool.
Let me see. Guys,
I do like
this one's my favorite.
Bunny Badger, chilling.
Yeah. Chilling on the beach.
He's a cool guy.
Coconut.
Yeah.
All right, look, that's all right.
Yeah, so.
All right. Well, that's all right.
No, let's not do it. It's all right. It's all right.
Got.
As bad as announcements go.
So these are live on Mount Sox at the moment.
Mike, did you do some of these?
No, these are Vicks. Yes.
Oh, they do look cool. Well done, Vicks.
Well done, Vicks. Very nice.
A couple of other designs as well, but these are available to buy now. So I know a lot of people
can
start
pod giveaways. Can, if someone says, give me a sock, can they get some sock?
One sock, not a pair.
Yeah, one sock.
Best question for this week. Get a pair of socks.
Signed by me.
Dear Dave.
Signed by you.
Signed by you.
or people say, please, no, not one more day.
Let's go with our best question then this week.
What, for a dear Dave?
We'll give a pair of socks.
We'll take questions via Twitter, but also on YouTube comments as well.
Mm. And watch out for Mikey's new theme tune.
It's going to be sick.
Nice.
Right, sound.
Anything else? Nope, that's it.
We're covered.
Cool. Right. Cheers, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Peace.